Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Well, let's do it. I'd rather give House Street listeners a break so than not give them a break. So it's at VRTrader.com. The promo code is 2022 half off. You get 50% off of any of our newsletters for any time frame that you choose. So it's VRTrader.com, Victor Robert VR Trader, and the promo code is 2022 half off, just as it sounds, and you get 50% off. And I'm also not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I want to make that disclosure as well. Thank you.
The U.S. debt ceiling deadline, is it scary or just a lot of noise?
You know, it's so crazy. I don't even know where to get started. I mean, I think it was 80 times in our past here in the U.S. that we had a debt ceiling confrontation. And out of the blue, you know, suddenly this becomes the more significant one. You know, it obviously can't go on forever. They're going to have to resolve it. No one's going to get paid. You know, treasury bills are not going to get funded. The list is a long list here, military issues, on and on. You know, people complaining that food stamps are not going to be paid, you know, all this kind of things. I mean, I got to believe it's a bunch of hogwash, but it doesn't mean that the powers that be aren't out there to squeeze the other powers that be. And, you know, I my best guess is after Memorial Day here in the U.S., which is Monday, you know, just prior to or just after that June 1st supposed Janet Yellen deadline, they'll resolve it. So that's the best guess. I mean, what do I know? Are they going to just continue not to pay their bills and go into default and get the credit rating of the U.S., you know, reduced? There's already threats of that. I can't imagine that even if it happened, it would go on very long. So I'm sure it'll be resolved. But I know in 1 year, I shouldn't say 1 year, 1 month, Treasury bills now, I hear they're up like 5.8% on a 30-day T-bill here in the U.S., which is theoretically no risk. And I guess we could start questioning, is it risky or not if, you know, they default? But anyway, they are driving some of those short-term rates up in anticipation that it might drag on a bit longer. So anyway, to me, it's just much ado about nothing, ultimately. I mean, there's so much nonsense going on right now. I mean, we know the Fed screwed up big time, and we're not talking about reining in the Fed. We see IRS agents doing crazy things, Internal Revenue agents doing crazy things here. We're not trying to rein in the IRS, the other federal agencies are, you know, making political war of their opportunities, and rather than stick to the guidelines. I mean, there's so much just playing of games and nonsense going on here. This debt ceiling is just part of the same nonsense. So, and then at the same time, everybody's got one phrase on their minds called AI. We talked about this briefly last week. It's like the entire stock market is being supported by one or two stocks that are the future of the world, you know, just like the internet was the future of the world years ago. And there's one stock, NVIDIA, which was up like 70 or 80 points today, of approaching $1 trillion in valuation, and they just can't stop talking about it. I mean, I guess if you're long the stock and have been in it, I remember when it was under $100 a share 2 years ago when I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and it looked like it was promising. And, you know, if you're a long-term holder, you can argue that that was a great investment, but it's like the entire market, you know, is being supported by one stock or one concept that suddenly this is all that matters, and it's the future of the world and the future of the market, which I think is nonsense. I mentioned to this last week. I'm not saying it's not an important ingredient to doing business and so forth, but a stock market can't be held up on one sector or one stock very long. So we're setting up for a real doozy to the downside, and whether it's the debt ceiling or some other outlier event, and we always seem to get these outlier events just when we least expect it, starting, I suppose, with COVID and the Ukraine invasion and a balloon flying over the U.S. and unidentified flying objects being seen everywhere by the military, and we can go on and on. We're setting ourselves up for something here, so I would hold on tight. I would be an eager investor. Not only that, they've got most investors in treasury bills anyway. Most money managers even admit, if you listen to some of the financial broadcasts, they have like two-thirds of their money in treasury bills. I mean, just think about it. I mean, I don't want to see it happen because obviously I'll go broke. I own treasury bills too, but, you know, the U.S. defaults and the country collapses and everybody loses everything. I mean, I guess that's the worst case. It's not going to happen, but I'm just saying, you know, I think everybody is in one thing. There's probably something wrong that they're doing it, and we got so many money managers in treasury bills, so I guess it would be perverse that the most unlikely, uncanny event unfolds, that suddenly the U.S. can't pay its bills and the treasury bills default and everybody gets wiped out. That would be like the end of the United States, so it's not going to happen, but yeah, when too many people in one place, you always start scratching your head. Is there something wrong with this scenario? But the other part of it is, even if it's all legitimate and it does get paid, you got most investors not in the stock market. They're in treasury bills because the bet managers themselves are afraid of the market direction or uncertain about market direction, particularly with the Fed doing its crazy things and Congress doing its crazy things. So there isn't much free money around, floating around to get invested in the stock market. So how's the stock market really going to go up, except for maybe a stock like Apple, which was hot this past few weeks, and it is NVIDIA, which ran up big today, and everybody's just foaming at the mouth about it, like it's the answer to the financial problems of the U.S. stock market. So it's such a nutty time frame. It's just crazy. So but let's. Long-winded response, but that's sort of my gut feeling here. You just kind of, and also, you know, we've got this summer event, the summer solstice. I keep talking about that, and the summer solstice is coming up here in June, and that's a change point in the market. So will it be a market high if they resolve these problems, or will it be a crash low if they don't resolve them? So last year it was a low in the market. And so it's a cyclical, you know, discussion, and no one really talks about stuff like that. I'm probably one of the only ones out there that even bring it up because they think, like, mostly think it's nonsense, but it's not. So, you know, we'll see. Just, you know, like I say, we're in a sort of a crazy time now, and we'll see what happens. And on top of all that, you know, what else is going on out there, Jim? You know, we've got, you know, Russian successes in Ukraine, the corruption of the Bidens, and all the stuff that's going on politically here in the U.S., and then on the geocosmic level, we always bring that one up. I have this little article in my newsletter every night pointing out, it comes from the Smithsonian Institute, about 43 active volcanoes on the planet, and then out of the blue, the Mexican volcano, I wouldn't say erupts, but sort of erupted here, and it's spewing all kinds of stuff all over Mexico City, which I believe is the world's largest city, and people are choking on all kinds of stuff that's being spewed by that volcano. So when I talk about the risks of volcanoes on the planet or what it could do to climate and to our health and to, you know, the economies of the world, it's not so far-fetched. And I have that article in there, and then Mexico takes off on us. So one of these things really takes off big. I don't want to say it's the end of civilization, but it could be. I mean, the Yellowstone supervolcano is, you know, could blow up 10,000 years from now. But if a supervolcano goes off, we don't have to worry about global warming anymore. We don't have to worry about nuclear events anymore. We don't have to worry about the debt ceiling anymore. And we certainly don't have to worry about AI anymore, because we won't be here to worry about it. So, I mean, there's so many things going on. And then we got a new fast-growing sunspot out there yesterday. I checked the spaceweather.com. So there's something going on the sun. So we'll see if that translates into anything. So, you know, we're sort of pawns in a very big game that we have no control over. And we can see that we don't when idiots in Congress can't get their act right, and when politics takes over the law and order in this country, and it's just wild what's happening out there. So I'm keeping it playing close to the vest.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
I knew you were going to answer that question, so that's why I didn't discuss it on the previous segment. It's going down because the U.S. dollar is strong, and a lot of commodities have suffered. We know crude oil backed off, though it seems to be trying to bottom here, but some of the technical work I've mentioned is that 100-day moving average it has to take out to reestablish technically another uptrend, but I'm convinced it will. I mean, I'm looking for $200 a barrel in crude oil the next, hopefully, couple years. So when Warren Buffett is out there buying Occidental Petroleum and people think he's crazy, yeah, he's be buying it with crude oil. It's $70 a barrel, and he'll probably sell Occidental when crude oil is $200 a barrel. So he's got a longer, different time frame than most of us, of course. But as far as gold, yeah, it's suffering from the dollar rally. And but also, you know, technically we have like a triple top on the charts. I was worried about the double top, as you know, for a while. And then we sort of broke through it but didn't stay up there. So technically it's a mess. There's an expression like you knock, knock at the door. You know, if you got a resistance level like that 2080 level or 2070 level, you keep going up and you knock there and you can't get through and you back off and then you come back again and again. At some point you're going to break through. So it's going to break through. And the question is, how low is gold going to go before it breaks through that? And a lot of it has to do with the dollar and maybe world events. And I guess if the U.S. defaults, that might turn gold around suddenly. I'm accepting, you know, the manipulation aspects of gold, which we talked about, you know, because it's been under government suppression for decades. But, they're just sort of watching that. And, you know, we've seen a lot of volatility in gold. This past year, we had a $300 correction. And now we're, about $150 off the high at one point. So if we get a $200-$300 correction, you get gold based in U.S. dollars. That would be about $1,880, would be $200 off the top. And if you match the other correction we had, then it would be about $1,770, $1,780 level, I guess is possible, if it matches the previous correction. But, you know, there was some warning of this, too. I think I'd mentioned this in some other broadcasts, and I wrote about it in the letter, that many of the gold shares, which generally lead the market up in the gold market, weren't doing it this time. And even when gold was up there, though a few did go to new highs or relative highs, many didn't. So that was sort of what we call negative divergence, was sort of warning there was something wrong here, something, as they say, rotten in Denmark. So, I think it's going to go up, but we've got to wait for the charts to confirm it and, you know, or some extraordinary outlier event to trigger it. So, I'm overall a bull, but, you know, we would, in the newsletter, we had mentioned some inverse precious metal ETFs, and we had put those on and off a couple times to try to hedge it so we could make money as it's going down. So that's some of the value of what we provide to the subscribers, the inverse ETF hedge, just in case, you know, nothing goes up forever. So it's in part and parcel to this corrective phase that we're in.
Anything catch your eye on the crypto front?
Yeah, the Ethereum last week, and it was looking interesting, but Bitcoin has pulled off here a little bit as well. XRP, which is the favorite, it's a Ripple crypto, and they're still embroiled with a Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit, and they're all hoping that'll be resolved in their favor. But yeah, we sort of peaked out short term, and you know, that sort of makes sense because, you know, a lot of the speculative money, like it would go into gold or commodity type prices, seem to do better, you know, along with the cryptos. They all seem to sort of move in sync a little bit because that's, you know, a little more inflation type money floating around. So things quieted down here a little bit. I'm looking at the chart, so you're in a correction now after you got Bitcoin up to 30,000 and now it's starting to back off. But remember, you know, it's volatile. And, you know, when Bitcoin got down to about 15,000, everybody thought it was going to go to zero, and then it doubles and goes back to 30, and now it's back into the mid-20s. So I'm a long-term bull. You know, some people, including people I respect, like Warren Buffett or his partner Charlie Munger, I think, believe that crypto is going to go to zero. So, you know, there are people that express a different view about it. I see it as a trading vehicle, and it has huge swings. And, you know, I don't sit here owning Bitcoin. I might trade XRP. You can do that on your phone, you know, by joining one of the crypto, you know, brokerage firms like Coinbase and so forth. Or, you know, there's apps you can join and you can trade them on your phone. It's like, it's really fun. I do trade it occasionally. Just these things move around, and you use some technical analysis, you can trade them. But right now, we're in a little bit of a correction. It's probably tied to the same reason why gold's pulled back and commodities have pulled back. So once the inflation fires take off again and the dollar is coming down and commodities are moving, I suspect you'll see the cryptos jump back up again.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook and BitChute. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.